Well, good evening. This is Ralph Kermit Winterode the second with the Ralph Winterode Show, True Seeker of the Far North. And we're going to have a guest on today, Dolores Wilson. Are you there? Is she there yet? Okay. Well, we're going to have a guest on here today from Florida concerning child custody issues. And she should be calling in any minute here. And I don't know what we'll do. We may have her for the second hour. We'll see how it goes. May also get into an extremely interesting case concerning the Internal Revenue Service and just one in a Circuit Court of Appeals. It's an extremely interesting case. The person that this involves is in jail at the time, and we had filed a writ of habeas corpus ad subjunctum, which they recast and put on the criminal side, and took that up to the Court of Appeals in that area, and also went up on a regular appeal. And, of course, the Circuit Court of Appeals exercised no judicial power of the United States. And the decision was, it's an unpublished, and I'm going to be posting it on all my lists, and I'll put the document out that's sanitized, because the party doesn't want his name out there just yet. I don't have his permission, so I can't put it out. But the interesting part of this whole case is that they denied the habeas ad subjunctum, which, of course, they have to because they don't have any judicial power. All they can do is a statutory one, and theirs is after sentencing. The other issue in this is that they also got around and they denied our assistance of counsel, ineffective assistance to counsel. And but they granted all other claims, but they chose not to list them, and also they did not have any action. They didn't remand or anything. So we may cover that the next hour, or we'll, if not, I'll cover it later on. I see Dolores. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you. This is Dolores Wilson, and you're out of Florida, right?
That's right.
Could you give us a brief, give us a bio of kind of what you're up to down, you know, you're married or whatever, and what you do and what you've been up to for the last few years?
All right. I'm not married, divorced, but I've been a foster parent off and on for about 10, 11 years. I had a child in my home that died. It was because another child had been placed in my home, and the child, I was told nothing about the background of this child. I learned later on this child had been arrested on domestic violence for attacking her former foster parent. I wanted her out of my home because she was a little too pushy and violent, but they didn't remove her. So that
what
night,
was her age?
She was 14.
Okay, this was a girl?
Yes, it was.
Okay, and now you had another girl put in your foster, in your care, right?
Yes, I had a little 11-year-old, mentally retarded child.
Oh, she was mentally retarded?
Yes.
Okay.
And this
now,
older... Go ahead.
Go ahead. So she was younger than the other one?
Yes. Very tiny for her age.
Uh-huh. Okay, hold on just a minute. I hear the music. We got a couple of short segments, and we'll get into a longer one. Stay tuned, and we'll be back in a minute with a very interesting story here and find out what happened.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism.
Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7, but I never have to go to work.
So what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Back. This is Ralph Kermit Winterow II, and I have Dolores Wilson on out of Florida. May I call you Dolores?
Certainly.
Now let's get some history of the older girl that you had. First of all, how many children in the foster care do you normally have?
Two to three. I usually like two only.
Okay. Now this girl, the older girl that was there prior to the girl that came in later. Do they give you an extensive workup or background on them before they
nothing.
Bring them into your home?
Nothing.
They just drop them off and they don't tell you nothing?
They tell you they have a child for you, but they really give you no background on them. And when you asked, I was lied to. I was told this child was only going to be in my home for 2 months because her other foster parent needed more training. The truth was she was taken out of the other home because the other foster parent didn't want her because she had to call the police on her. I should have been told that. I would have never taken her if I'd have known that she had that kind of violence, you know, because I wouldn't have wanted my grandchildren who were here and my other two foster children, I wouldn't have wanted them hurt, and I wouldn't have taken her.
Okay, so you had two other foster children also then at that time?
Mm-hmm. The little girl that was killed, and an older foster child who'd been with
okay.
me a long time.
Okay, was that a boy or a girl?
A girl.
A girl, okay.
I either take girls or I take boys, not two to the one of each.
That's probably not a good thing to be mixing them up, is it?
No, it isn't.
Okay, so they brought this girl over and they didn't give you any background. So how did you find out? Did you find out prior to the problem with the 11-year-old being killed, or did you?
She had pushed my granddaughter, and she had bitten one of my other foster children. And I told her worker that she was kind of rough and that I didn't like it, and that, you know, I didn't know whether I could keep her. And all the worker said to her when she was there was, "We have talked about this before. You need to change. And, you know, you promised that you'd be good." And then the worker said, "Well, I'll see you next month," and walked out the door.
Well, this doesn't make any sense. Is how can you effectively have a foster child come into your home if you don't have any background as to their problems or what you need to be doing with them?
Well, see, this is what's been happening. And this is why I rewrote the Florida Foster Parents Bill of Rights, because we've never had a Bill of Rights. We had one that was submitted quite a few years ago, but all it's done is gather dust in Tallahassee. So I figured if we had a good foster parent Bill of Rights and we could get somebody to take it to Tallahassee, which I have. I've had a senator and two representatives who are going to take it to Tallahassee for me. If we can, in it, it says that we have to have notice of what happens to a child before they came to your house. And this would be a good thing, because then we'd be able to say, yes, I want this child. No, I have other children, and that child is too vicious or too uncontrollable to be in my home with these other children. We should have that choice. And
well, it seems like just common sense is how can they give you a child if you don't know the background and have any chance of helping the child?
That's the problem right there. You have, sometimes you have an agency who's really good about that. But the trouble is most of them aren't. They will just say this child, oh, she's got a few problems, but there's nothing serious or something like that. And this is very dangerous. And not only that, you have a lot of young foster parents. I'm 65, but there are young foster parents out there who have their own children there, and this is putting their children in jeopardy, too, of getting hurt.
Now, do they? Do you have any means to contact and get a history of the prior foster provider care foster home that they were in and talk to that party?
Sometimes you can find out who the prior foster parent was. But a lot of times a prior foster parent doesn't want to say, because then she's liable to have them come down on her. We put up with a lot of reprisals being a foster parent. If we say we have a child in our home and we think this child is really a great kid, but we think maybe a little more help would be needed, like a psychiatrist or maybe anger management classes, and something that this child needs extra. If we keep saying, hey, we want this service for this child, we think he needs it, well, right away they get upset and they pull the child out of your home and put him in another home where, you know, maybe they don't care as much. So we've got to protect our good foster parents and weed out the bad ones.
So what you're saying is if you're trying to do a good job, you get punished for doing a good job.
Sometimes, yes. Very much so. And I think
go ahead.
I think that we should have some kind of plan in the Foster Parents Bill of Rights. It says that everybody works together. The child's parents, real parents, the foster parents, the company you work for, everybody working for the good of the foster child. And this past week, I had the honor of speaking before the governor Blue Ribbon Panel, it's called. It was people who were appointed by the governor of Florida. They are from the police department, from Child Protection Services, from DCF, from a lot of different areas, and headed by a wonderful man called Bob Butterworth. And I had a tendency to talk in front of there and tell about the child that died in my home and how I was trying to pass this bill to get foster parents to have some rights. And, you know, I was very surprised at some of the other things they talked about. They talked about a plan to put children back with their parents. And to me, I think that's very important. I think we take too many children away from parents, and we should be trying to put them back with their parents where they belong. And there must be ways that we can help and we can do something that'll put this family back together again. Because foster children...
So what you're saying is a lot of the families, a lot of the children, they're not really actively looking to get the child and the families reunited. Could I say that they're looking just to make money? This is a money-making business?
Sometimes it seems like that. But I think with this new panel, I think they really are listening. They really are trying. And they have really gone after people and companies to find out. Right now, they're investigating the YMCA in Sarasota because of a child disappearing and another one died there. So, you know, they are looking into things and finding out reasons why this happened. And I think that they're really going to try and do something to change the foster care system in Florida. And this would be marvelous. Go ahead.
Well, the young lady that came in, the 11-year-old, did you have any background of her then? You probably didn't when they brought her to your
house? No, I didn't. But she turned out to be a little sweetheart. She was very sweet, and I enjoyed her very much.
So how long was she there?
That's why it hurt me so. She was with me over a month.
Uh-huh.
When this happened, I was hoping it was going to be a long, long time. She was, she was mentally retarded, but she was very, she was funny. She was, you could put Dumbo on. If she became angry because her mother didn't show up for a meeting, she would throw things, but I could take her, put her in a chair in the living room and put Dumbo on. And she would watch Dumbo over and over again if you'd let her. I mean, she loved that movie. She would clap and be so happy. You know, there's ways to help children and get them over their anger things without, you know, disciplining them or something, you know, find something else for them that they enjoy. And I was really enjoying her. And
were there any indications that she had been abused or anything when she came to you?
Yes, she had been, I thought. I had Child Protection Services, in fact, come to my home. Because she had, around her wrists, there were raw, like she had been restrained or something, and I didn't like it. And so I insisted on Child Protection Services seeing this child. I don't know if the former foster parent did it or what, but I wanted to make sure that people knew about it. You know,
well,
I've been a
question.
Good... What?
If the person brought the child there, why didn't they check the child over before they brought the child there and pick up on this?
Well, the problem was that isn't how it worked out. You see, I got that little girl. I got a telephone call from a policeman, a sheriff's deputy, who said, I have this little girl that the foster parent doesn't want anymore, and said she was throwing things, and she is very upset, and she doesn't want her anymore. And she's sitting here, and she has no place to go. And they told me, the company you work for, that you had an extra bed. Would you please take her? So that's how I got her. And
so the sheriff already had her at his place?
Yeah, but the foster parent did come back and pick her up, and we met at a grocery store parking lot where she took the girl's clothes in garbage bags out of her car, threw them in my trunk, got in her car, and drove off. And I took the little girl home.
Now, you can... you can take a child from one home and move it to another without the child enforcement folks being involved in this?
The company I work for okayed it with the sheriff's department.
I see.
But I live sort of out by a horse farm way out in the country, like, and it's kind of hard to find my place. That's why I met her there, because she was clear the other side of Tampa where I live, closer to Pinellas County in Clearwater. So, I met her part way.
Okay, Dolores, I
got her attitude.
Stay put, and we'll be back in a minute with some more interesting aspects of the story. Got a lot of questions I'd like to have answered. So stay tuned, and we'll be back in a minute.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
The second Ralph Winterroad show, and out of Alaska, and I have Dolores Wilson out of Florida, and we're talking about a real unfortunate situation where a little 11-year-old girl ended up not making it because of a 14-year-old. And so my question here is, did the policeman see the 11-year-old prior to you picking her up?
The 11-year-old? Yes, they did.
Well, then why didn't he notice and do something about this foster care person that had the – I mean, there's no doubt that it happened under the care of the foster care person. So how come he didn't do anything?
I think because she had on a long-sleeve shirt at the time, and I don't think he saw it.
Uh-huh. Okay, so you picked up the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought her into your home, and you don't really know too much about her other than somebody has told you that she's somewhat retarded, maybe, and that's basically, and you don't know anything beyond that about her history.
No, I didn't, no.
I can't imagine why they would not give you the full record of any foster care parents so that you can see what they've been up to since they've got incarcerated, you know, or been or kidnapped or taken or whatever the word you want to use.
Well, like I say, there are some companies. There's one here in this area, in fact, Camelot. They tell foster parents that you may come into their office and you may read about any child there that you have, you know, well, the child you have in Pine, so you know everything. But some of them just do not encourage that, and they do not give you this information either.
So now the person that you have a contract with is not the state of Florida, it's some private entity?
Right. Jeb Bush decided a couple years ago, that Florida needed to be, instead of Child and Family Services handling everything, they would start all these private companies. Well, personally, myself, whenever you have a corporation, what you've got is people making money, because that's what corporations do. I'm not always a big fan of Child and Family Services, but they're probably ahead of whatever's in second place. I just feel that a lot of these private companies, they can make their own rules. There's nothing governing them. And they get away with too much. And I think there needs to be more people over the top of them. There needs to be surprise visits into different foster homes. And we just need to, you know, see what's going on. We've got to protect these children.
This is just unbelievable. You take a child out of where the parent has an absolute right, and then child enforcement gets involved, and then they hand it off to a corporation, which hands it off to somebody such as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So where is the accountability here?
That's it, right there. There needs to be more. But
nobody's
mostly
accountable. It's always somebody else's problem, isn't it?
Right. Well, the problem is a lot of these companies, they are not, they don't really protect the foster parent. So you lose your good foster parents because they don't want their name ruined. They don't want to see their name splashed across a newspaper. So, you know, then you end up with foster parents who are in it for money or really don't care. But you have to realize out there, there are a lot of good foster parents. But they really need a foster parent's bill of rights. 17 states have passed it, and to them, I applaud those states that have. But the rest of the states should have one, too. And Florida doesn't have one. And that's what we need. We need something that's going to protect everybody. Otherwise, you're not going to have a good foster care system.
Well, the whole issue of our constitutional republic is somebody has to be accountable.
Right.
And you've got a system down in Florida that nobody's accountable.
Well, they are, and they're not. You know, it's sort of, I think that's what that Bob Butterworth is trying to change. I've read some articles on him on the internet, and he is trying to make it so there are more people who are over the top of these private companies and actually, you know, make them accountable. And I think that's
now,
going to be great.
Who is Butterworth? What's his position?
He is head of now of DCF. He was appointed by the governor and the Blue Ribbon Task Force on foster care to see if they couldn't change how foster care is. And I think they're starting off doing a good job if they just keep it up. I hope they do. And maybe we can have some changes that are good. But I think their one thing about putting children back with their parents is long overdue. And that's what we need, too, is some of these children wouldn't be so angry and wouldn't be so mad at the world because they miss their parents.
Well, I would think so.
Yes, they do. Now, you and I both know there are some parents out there who really don't care. And these children are never going to go home, and they're never, you know, going to be happy. And that's a very sad thing. I think we need to make more parents accountable for their actions, too. You know, they can't just dump a child off. A lot of children are just dumped into foster care.
Mm-hmm.
They hang out in bars and do dope and things and don't care.
Has this foster parent that had the little girl, the 11-year-old, with the burn marks on her wrist, has any investigation been started to look into how all of this just magically happened?
I think that's happening now since my talk in front of
we're going to get into some more details about the little 11-year-old here after the break, so stay tuned, and we'll be back in just a minute for a long segment.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7, but I never have to go to work.
So, what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So, what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down, it's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Well, we're back. Welcome to the second Ralph Winterroth Show, and I have a guest today, Dolores Wilson out of Florida. She's a foster home provider. On the 14-year-old girl, did her parents ever visit her?
Her mother died giving birth to her, and she never knew who her father was.
So she had no parents then, basically.
No. Mm-mm.
Did you ever meet the parents of the 11-year-old?
No.
How do they have a visit? How are the visits arranged? Do you take them?
Well, usually a caseworker will pick them up from your home and take them back to where the meeting's going to be, and they supervise the meeting.
So, in other words, they keep the foster care and somebody such as yourself isolated from the parents, so you can't talk and find out how the child is doing.
No.
Well, that doesn't seem like a good thing to be doing.
Well, I personally don't think so, but a lot of times it has to do with the parent who may be not very cooperative. I don't really get into that part of it. The thing I want to do is to see that this child is happy while she's in my home. This is very important to me as a foster parent. Mm-hmm. I can't get into politics and stuff too much, because then that would just come down on me, and that wouldn't be any good for the child in my home. If all of a sudden they took the children out of my home, I can't be a great foster parent and care about kids if I don't have any kids.
Do you have you kept in contact with any foster children that you've had over the years that have?
Yeah, I have. I have a boy who lives in Tennessee now. He emails me and my daughter, and I have a boy here who still calls me about once or twice a month and says hi. So I do see some of the kids that I've had. I only take teenagers usually, and so, you know, they really they get really attached to me, and they do call me and everything, and I like that. Makes me feel
good.
How many
do you think actually make it back to their parents? What percentage?
No idea what the percentage is. I've never had but one child that went to his grandmother since I've been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I take teenagers who have been in the system a long time, so them going back to their parents is that usually doesn't happen when they've been in there that long.
Why do they purposely move the children around and not leave them someplace, or
not usually? As long as you know, everything's going good with the child and you, and they're very happy over that. You know, to leave the child. It's when you become a, you know, sort of a pain, when you want extra services that cost money. I had a little boy. He was 7 years old, had 101 IQ in the second grade. I mean, this child was just unbelievable, so intelligent, so smart. His speech was wonderful. I mean, he used just beautiful language and everything when he talked. But he was so angry at his mother because she wouldn't stop using drugs that he, when he went to school, he would start throwing things or something. So I talked to them and I said, this child needs a therapist. He needs to find out why he's so angry and see if they could deal with it. And he needs to be in some kind of a group where he can talk about his anger, some anger classes. And I kept insisting on this. Well, you know what they did? They took the child. I told them at school, you know, what are you doing? They took him and put him in a special classes where children who can't read and write, some of them have mental problems. And here you've got a child with 101 IQ, and he's in classes with children that'll always be in special classes. And I thought, well, this is a waste of this child's IQ and the fact that he's so intelligent. There's got to be somebody who can help him. Well, he was taken out of my home and put in another foster home.
I see. So it kind of makes you wonder why. See, this thing is so disjointed because how, you know, you're actually trying to make decisions of things that would help, and it seems like the child enforcement folks are separated from this. And, I mean, it looks to me like they're not on the right side.
Well, I don't think so. In fact, they really irritate me. You know, I have a problem with a lot of things. Like, when a child is older, I like to take them to court when their court hearings are.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that this is important, that they take charge of their life when they're like 16, 17 years old, and maybe have a say. Say, well, you know, I want to do this or I want to do that. I took one boy to court, and it's funny. They kind of frown on you here in where I live, here in the Tampa area, on taking a child to court. Well, he doesn't need to be there, they told me. But, you know, it's funny, every child I've ever taken to court, I've never had one judge say, why is this child here? They've always said, well, I'm glad to see you. How are you doing? How are you at home? How are you doing in school? What can I do for you? So I took this 17-year-old boy one time, and he went to court, and the judge was so wonderful to him. He said, is there anything I can do for you? And this child spoke up, and he said, yes, I would like a part-time job. The judge looked at his record, and he says, oh, you're 17. You're going to be aging out of the system soon. He says, I see no reason why you can't have a part-time job, and as long as it doesn't interfere with your schoolwork. And he was so happy. And then his worker spoke up and she said, well, he needs to be evaluated and everything. See if this is good. He'll be all right out there getting a job. So the judge looked at her and he said, okay, have him evaluated, but make it fast. Well, they could spend money to have a child evaluated who's doing beautiful. I had a letter from his school saying that he had learned to read so well he had advanced three reading years in school in 1 year. Mm-hmm. So he's doing great. But they spend money on having him evaluated with this psychiatrist and that psychiatrist, stuff that cost a lot of money, didn't need it, and they kept this up because they knew he would go out of the system. His 18th birthday would come before he was due to go back to court again. So they just kept making him go to one psychiatrist after another, one person after another seeing him, and pretty soon he edged out of the system. Well, he never did get a job. Well, I heard that isn't right. No, a few months later, I heard from him, and he was homeless on the street. He should have been taught how to get a job, and he should have learned about money and how to make it go for different things. You know, but he never got a chance to go to work.
Did he have parents?
He had a mother that I don't think that she was the best mother in the whole world, which was a shame because he was a wonderful child. I enjoyed him. I had him for a year and a half.
How much money do they allot to when you have a foster care? Do they give you a certain amount of money per child, or how does that work?
It works for each child. It depends upon what their classification is, if they're traditional kids, or they're therapeutic ones that have a lot of problems, or if they're DS children who are mentally retarded or have mental problems or things. It depends on which child you take.
What kind of money range are we talking here from one end to the other per month?
It ranges. I don't know what traditional ones are because I've never done traditional because I have a therapeutic license. I have a license for children with problems. So I have never really dealt with that, so I couldn't tell you what the board rate is on that. On mine, it was over $1,000.
What, over $1,000 per month?
Mm-hmm.
Now, do they give you food?
Huh?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That includes their food. That includes their school clothes. That includes their entertainment. The different things that you do, like taking them to the fair, taking them to Busch Gardens here, taking them to the movies, everything has to come out of that. You end up really spending, I usually did anyway because my kids did a lot. I usually ended up spending more than what I got each month.
Does that cover medical too, or is the medical?
No, medical is under Medicaid.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you don't have to worry about the medical side of it.
Not that part I didn't have to worry about, no.
Yeah. Well, now this 11-year-old that came to you, did she ever see her parents while she was in your care?
Twice.
Twice. But you didn't go. They just come and pick her up, and then they brought
mm-hmm.
her back?
Right.
How did she come to this 14-year-old? What did she do to her? How did that happen?
Well, after that day, I had told her caseworker that she was a little too... I thought she was too aggressive and stuff. And after she had left that night, we had dinner, and I told the kids to go get their baths and get ready for bed. Then they could come back out and have some cake and, you know, have some juice or something with it. And everybody was sitting around the table having a great time. You know, you wouldn't have thought anything was wrong. And then they went to bed at 9. And around 10 o'clock, I checked on them, and they were... two were asleep. One, she looked like she was going to sleep. And I went back to my room then and went to sleep. It was around 11 o'clock at night that I heard my first foster child that I'd had for quite a while come running out, emergency, emergency. I ran back there and found her body just lifeless laying there on her bed. I started CPR. I worked on her. I had the elder girl call 911. And they told me what to do, to take her to a flat area. I brought her to my living room later out in the rug and continued CPR. A deputy arrived. He took over. And then, of course, they took her to the hospital. I never knew that she died on the way to the hospital. In fact, as I didn't know what had happened. You know, I hadn't had time to even think about what had happened. I was too busy trying to save her life. And all of a sudden, I had police from everywhere and detectives. And I was starting to wonder what was going on. And then finally, they interviewed everybody separately. They took the 14-year-old back to the bedroom and talked to her. They talked to my other foster child, and she told them what happened, but nobody told me what was going on. So I'm sitting there just, like, wondering what's going on. I'm wanting to go to the hospital to see the little girl, how she is. And I told them that, and then they called me back to the back bedroom, and they told me what had happened, that she had died. And then they told me what had happened, that the one girl said she came out of the bathroom and she seen her with a pillow over the girl's head. And that's when she called me. I still didn't know any details for a long time. It was sort of weird. I expected the news people to be in my front yard in the morning when I woke up, although I only went to bed for 2 hours. But nobody came. There was nobody. It was just like hushed up. So for over a year, it's been hushed up.
So they didn't want this out, and that the 14-year-old had actually strangled or suffocated the younger girl then.
No, it wasn't until 2 weeks before the anniversary of the child's death that the case was closed, so I could go to the sheriff's department to records and read about it. It took me 2.5 hours I was there. And, of course, the end part was the only part that really had stuff that I could really use. A lot of it was just daily stuff. The records where they went to different companies that were in charge of the girl, they wouldn't let me read that. It's just the normal things that the police said. And it really wasn't anything until the end. And then I got to read about the 14-year-old being arrested for prior. And I got to read, she was taken to the Children's Crisis Center here when she left here, the police took her. And she just told them what she did. It says right in there that she put the pillow over the girl's face and sat on it.
Why was she doing that?
Hmm?
Why did she do it?
She didn't ever say why.
Wow.
She never.
How
said
soon
why.
Did the parents find out about this?
They never have.
The parents
as
don't
know
that she's deceased.
Oh, they know she's dead, but her death certificate says heart attack.
How
With
long
extenuating
after?
Extenuating circumstances, I think it says.
Okay. Do you have any idea how long after when she died on the way to the hospital? Did it, any knowledge about how long before the parents were actually told about this?
I read in there from the sheriff's report that this one detective wrote that he went. I think it was the next day. It just says that he went and informed the mother that I don't know of a father, so I've only heard about her mother. And said that he had gone and told the mother that her daughter had died. But I don't think she was told anything else, just that she had died.
And they weren't told the circumstances?
I don't believe so. I don't know. I can't really comment on that because I don't know, because it wasn't in the report, just that she had passed away.
Have you ever tried to contact the parents, or the parents ever tried to contact you?
I was told when the child died I couldn't go to the funeral and that I was not to have any contact with the mother. I didn't know who she was anyway, her name or anything. I did find it in the police report, and I was going to go talk to her. But I figured she's going to read it in the paper, because they did when I was in front of the task force there, and the Blue Ribbon panel, and Bob Butterworth, there was a St. Petersburg Times reporter there who wrote a story on it, and it was in the newspaper.
Which newspaper was it in?
St. Petersburg Times.
St. Petersburg Times.
Mm-hmm.
Did they put it at the front to where people could find it, or is it buried back in the back somewhere?
No, it was on local, state and local section.
Did they actually say what action? Did they actually state the actual facts, or did they try to polish it?
No, it had the actual facts.
Wow.
It was a very good story, actually. The reporter did an excellent job. You know, he told why I want this foster parents' bill of rights to go through, and that I felt that we could have better foster parents if we had a bill of rights.
Okay, hold on a minute, Doris. I hear the music again, and we'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Well, we're back from break. Rob Crummett, Winter Road, have Dolores Wilson on out of Florida. Had a child die in her home, a real heartbreaking thing. And she's out fighting and trying to get a bill of rights, if you will. The issue is this: they have this thing so compartmentalized. Do they tell you, or have they told you, that the judge and all of the child enforcement and all of the attorneys all have contracts behind the scenes, and the sole objective is just to make money?
No. I really don't get into that. The thing that I want is for foster children to be safe. You know, how all of that works, I leave it up to people like you to figure that out. All
sure,
I want
sure.
is...
Do you know Greg Pound down there in Florida?
Oh, I know Greg very well.
Yeah, so he's got a very interesting situation, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. I think his children should be returned to him. I really do. And I think a lot of it has to do with his mother-in-law. She pushes the fact that she wants the children, and I don't think she approves of how religious that he is, which shouldn't be a crime to anybody, you know. He cares about his children, and he's never done anything to them, him or his wife. The situation.
Do you communicate with other foster care people?
Some I do.
Mm-hmm. Some
you make
do?
Friends. You meet them at meetings and things.
Mm-hmm. Well, what it sounds to me like is they keep everything compartmentalized, and I tell you, from my perspective, the system is broke. I think they're kidnapping children that shouldn't be taken. There obviously are children that have parents that aren't taking care of their children, but the goal doesn't seem, the goal isn't that everybody should get together and say, how do we get this child back to the parent?
Yes.
If it's possible, and that's not
right.
happening.
You know, being a foster parent, you know, I never had any children. I have one daughter now, but she's adopted. And, of course, that's kind of the love of my life. But so foster children have always been important to me. And but I know that some of these children need to be returned to their families. There needs to be some kind of plan to put a child back with their parents. And I think this new Blue Ribbon panel and Bob Butterworth are going to, that's one of their goals. And I hope they can make it happen. Everybody.
Well, I tell you what, it seems like such a simple solution. And I was listening last night on George Noe about a lady that was in HUD. And she was high up in HUD for the government of the United States. And her statement was astounding in the fact, she says, when you get to these boards, money rules.
I don't think so with this panel. A lot of these are volunteering their time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a paid panel. They're just people who care.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's going to make the difference. It's not a panel of here's a lot of money and we're paying you. It's not that type of panel. And that's one of the things that I find that's great. And they were very upset when I told my story in front of them, and they all stood up and applauded what I had said. And then they each came over and shook my hand and took time to say, you know, they would try to see what they could do about this. And I really think they're going to. And
we're going to talk about the IRS the next hour, but if you could stay on, I got one more, just a couple more questions. I want to finish up with Dolores. Can you stay tuned for just about a couple more minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll be back after the hour, and stay tuned. Yes, Ron.
With three.